O friend of the suffering living entities. Kim, what is the difficulty? Tena, with that. Te, of your lordship. Priyajanan, the dear persons, the devotees. Anusevatam, of those always engaged in serving. Maha, like us, who are so engaged. Bestimmt hat Skogopal irgendwo verloren. Den Schlüssel. Achso. Ja. Achso, die musste ihm die geben, weil er musste ein Buch holen. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Prachadine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyade Satadine Yasri Krishna Jaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sivasadi Go Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, original spiritual master of the entire world, what is the difficulty for you who manage the affairs of the universe in delivering the fallen souls engaged in your devotional service? You are the friend of all suffering humanity, and for great personalities it is necessary to show mercy to the foolish. Therefore, I think that you will show your causeless mercy to persons like us who engage in your devotional service. Purport. Hear the words Priya Janan Anusevatam Na indicate that the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, is very favorable to devotees who act according to the instructions of his own pure devotee. In other words, one must become the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. If one wants to become the servant of the Lord directly, this is not as fruitful as engaging in the service of the Lord's servant. This is the direction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who shows us the way to become Gopi Bhatur Parakamala Yor Dasa Dasa Mudasa. One should not be proud of becoming directly the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rather, one must seek a pure devotee, a servant of the Lord, and engage oneself in the service of such a servant. The more one becomes the servant of the servant, the more one becomes perfect in devotional service. This is also the injunction of Bhagavad Gita. Evam parampara praptam imam rajasayo vidu. One can understand the science of the Supreme Personality of Godhead simply by the parampara system. In this regard, Srila Narottam Das Thakur says, Tandera charana sevi bhakta sanivas. Let me serve the lotus feet of the devotees of the Lord, and let me live with devotees. Janame janamahoe e abhilash. Following Narottam Das Thakur, one should aspire to be a servant of the Lord's servant, life after life. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also sings, Tumita Thakura Tomara Kukura Baliya Janamamore. O my Lord, O Vaishnav, please consider me your dog. One must become the dog of a Vaishnava, a pure devotee. For a pure devotee can deliver Krishna without difficulty. Krishna se tomar, Krishna dite par. Krishna is the property of his pure devotee. And if we take shelter of a pure devotee, we can deliver Krishna very easily. Prahlad wants to engage in the service of a devotee, and therefore he prays to Krishna, My dear Lord, kindly give me the shelter of your very dear devotee, so that I may engage in his service, and you may then be pleased. Mat bhakta puja bhadika. Bhagavatam 11.19.21. The Lord says, Engage in the service of my devotee. That is better than trying to engage in my devotional service. Another significant point in this verse is that by devotional service, Prahlad Maharaj does not want to benefit alone. Rather, he prays to the Lord that all of us fallen souls in this material world may, by the grace of the Lord, engage in the service of his servant and thus be delivered. The grace of the Lord is not at all difficult for the Lord to bestow, and thus The grace of the Lord is not at all difficult for the Lord to bestow, and thus Prahlad Maharaj wants to save the whole world by spreading Krishna consciousness. Please repeat after me. O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, original spiritual master of the entire world, what is the difficulty for you? Who manage the affairs of the universe in delivering the fallen souls engaged in your devotional service? You are the friend of all suffering humanity. And for great personalities, it is necessary to show mercy to the foolish. Therefore, I think that you will show your causeless mercy to persons like us. Who engage in your service. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prahlad Maharaja ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. This is the second prayer of Prahlad Maharaj, which you hear during your stay at Navaniyarani Singha Chetra. Prahlad Maharaj is saying that, my dear Lord, you can practically deliver anyone in this world because you are so powerful that you already manage all the affairs of the universe. This is a very pertinent point. If you apply for mercy, you have to do it with a person or an institution or agency which can compensate for your own disqualifications. I believe I have talked about this and want to just remind you on the point. If a criminal applies for mercy, he has to go to the king who is above the law. Because according to justice, a criminal has no right to be excused. He has to be punished. This is the law. And only someone who is above the law can actually just say it's all right. And only on the strength of that powerful person who can compensate, also das Ausgleichen, what the criminal has done, it's possible. Do you understand this point? For instance, if, let us say, someone has made a serious mistake in the traffic on the roads, and as a result, a person had been killed. This happens in Krishna. It happened in Krishna consciousness that one devotee did a very serious mistake ignorance, and as a result, just someone ran into the. It's very unfortunate, actually. Was killed. You know, he parked the car somewhere and near the autobahn, or next to the autobahn, actually. And the person just drove and didn't see the car, which was wrongly parked. It could not have. He needed to repair his car. That was the reason. And he was killed. So that devotee was clearly at fault. And I remember he applied for mercy. He said, I'm really sorry for what happened, and I really regret it, but my car broke down, and can't you just give me mercy? And the case came first to the local authorities, and they said, you have been instrumental for the death of one human being. We have to punish you according to law. And we can't excuse you. So it had to go to a very high place. Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan Ki Jai. Some supreme judge. And he said, on my authority, I'm saying this person is innocent. He means well. He is not a bad guy, and it was excused. The case was passed. So we can really only apply for mercy at the highest instance, because, as Rupa Goswami says, my dear Lord, if I am coming before you and then confessing my sinful activities, I become ashamed. Just become ashamed. And Yamunacharya, in this light praiser, there is no sinful activity which I have not committed hundreds and thousands of times. You please excuse me now. So, this brings us to a very important point which Srila Prabhupada made in the lecture about this verse. He said, favor or mercy is only possible if it is sanctioned by Krishna. For instance, when we asked for something and don't get it, we should know that Krishna did not allow us to get what we had asked for. A devotee can train his spiritual vision where he sees Krishna in everything which happens to him or her by the simple meditation that you we meditate about our fallen situation, and then we know that whatever favors, as a gute Dinge, happen to us, this is favored by Krishna. This is a very simple but essential meditation. When you have nice prasadam, you should say, well, I don't deserve it by the law. I should maybe eat, I would eat horrible things now. But Krishna has given me the chance to take his prasadam. Or even if something bad happens to you, which you may not have expected in your life, you should think, Krishna, he is merciful. He is now pointing out something to me which needs to be learned by me. It's only Krishna who can give favors and who can do something for a devotee, because Krishna is above the law. He can just say, forget about what happened. Just like in the theater play, there was a scene when the Chitragupta, that's the secretary of Yamaraj, who puts all the bad things in the book. When he came to Yamaraj, he said, well, these Jaga and Madai, they have done so many bad activities. It's described in Chaitanya Bhagavat that Chitragupta had a huge closet, ein gewaltigen Aktenschrank, just full with books describing the sinful activities these two rascals had done. So there was no chance for them. By the law of karma, which is ruled by Yamaraj and Chitragupta, amongst other devatas, several devatas are there in working out your karma, he should have been terribly punished. But then they found out that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had excused the sins of Jaga and Madai. It's actually described that his golden body at the time of acceptance of these two became momentarily blackish because of absorbing the sinful reactions of these two. And when Chitragupta and Yamaraj saw that, they knew, now we can throw away all the law books. So closet can just be batsate. It can just be thrown away. Because now the supreme judge who manages the affairs of the universe has pardoned these two sinners. By the Lord's sanctions, very, very impossible things become possible. This was one example, how sins can be excused. Another example that Prabhupada gave another example of the bridge which was built to Lanka. So this bridge was possible to be built in a very interesting way. You know, the monkeys came and threw the heavy boulders or rocks into the water. And because Ramachandra desired these rocks to float, they actually floated. Up to this time, they flow. I have seen with my own eyes in Dwaraka a temple which lies on a little island. Wie heißt das Island? Beit Dwaraka, small Dwaraka. It's actually a little island in the ocean, which still has original stones from the town of Lord Krishna. Like, you can still see that. You go through the water, you drive with a rowing boat, and then all kinds of dolphins come and jump. It's very idyllic and romantic. When you chant, they come, because they are devotees of Krishna, these dolphins. And then they go, and then they go backwards. And very nice. They like prasadam also. Naturally. So on that Bet Dwarka island, you can see temples who still have original stones from the bridge. These stones, they float in the water. It just looks so far out, you just can't believe it. Even devotees go, what? And they come up again. And they are heavy stones. They allow you, if you give them that's a donation, to take these stones and lift them out of the water. Because Lord Ramachandra desires stones to float, no problem. In the Gita, the Lord is explaining how he enters into each planet and by his force keeps the planets afloat in the, so to say, ocean of cosmic space. So you can see how Prahlad Maharaj says here, what is the difficulty for you who manage the affairs of the universe to do anything? Therefore, please deliver the fallen souls engaged in your devotional service. Now, those of you who are accustomed to listen carefully might have or might remember how Srila Prabhupada explains this passage of the verse. He says, Prahlad Maharaj says, now we have to be careful. Prahlad is there, the original speaker of this verse. He sits on the lap and looks at us. So Prahlad Maharaj says, what is the difficulty for you, my dear Lord, who manage the affairs of the universe in delivering the fallen souls engaged in your devotional service? Now Srila Prabhupada explains this part by saying Krishna doesn't like to be approached directly. And he hints at a verse of the Adi Purana, I believe it is. In that verse of the Adi Purana, Krishna is giving interesting point. He says, those who worship me directly are not my devotees. Real devotees are those who worship my devotees. So I would like to hear our devotees, what is the reason for Krishna to say like this? Those who worship me directly are not my devotees. The real devotees are those who are a servant of a servant of a servant. What do you think is the reason for Krishna to say Shishtikala? The devotees are more dear to him than himself. Yes. One reason. I of course have a surprising reason in store, which you won't be able to, well, maybe you are able to find out. I was wondering. So this is what, Shishtikata gives a reason which we have heard Srila Prabhupada often say. It's something like, if you want to love someone, you have to also love the person which is most dear to him. You can't become a friend of an important man if you behave disrespectful to his wife or his son, maybe. Prabhupada quoted in English saying, if you love me, love my dog. This is an English saying. I know that the unsurrendered mind of the West doesn't like this point at all, to become a servant of the servant, who wants to be directly the servant. Why go over an umweg, a detour? This is just the preaching of a very fanatic religious institution who wants wants to control its members by making them servants of human beings instead of God. Look at the Catholic Church. This is what they often, this is the main accusation now, which the Pope is confronted with. The Catholic Church says, you have to go through the Pope, and they have their theological reasons, and no one believes. The Evangelical Church that became the reason why Martin Luther made the split. We all have a Martin Luther in us, I feel. Freedom from the authorities. There is a very, very interesting point. Please listen. Shishnikata already mentioned the point. The Lord loves the devotees, therefore he is more pleased if someone directly goes to his very dear devotee and learns from him. There are two other reasons, actually. The first reason is easy to understand. The second requires a lot of brain. The reason is that the Lord actually is so pleased with his devotees that he wants to give the devotees something. But it's not possible for him, because the devotee says, no, I'm your servant. You are not my servant. Like when Lord Nrsimhadev wants to give something to Prahlad Maharaj, a blessing, Prahlad says, no! Do you think I'm a businessman? He gets really happy. Who wants to have something for his services? He really is like, goes like, no! He feels like this. He doesn't want this Christian mood to enter his mind that, oh, lieber Gott, mach mich fromm, dass ich in den Himmel komme. You know, this, give me something. Oh Lord, give me mercy in the spence. This was a very famous song in the old times. So the devotee doesn't want that. So the Lord feels frustrated. Have you ever tried to give someone a present and he says just no? It's so frustrating. You want to give someone something and he just doesn't take it. Like, this is one of my greatest frustrations. You want to give a devotee a nice picture and he just feels, oh no, I can't take it, it's your picture, just keep it for, you just feel like, my day is ruined. Couldn't give him a present. You know, sometimes, I remember when I was a little child, I wanted to give my mother a present, and I took all the money which I saved to buy sweets for her. It was Mother Day, Muttertag. And I bought such a huge thing full with pralines. And I was just so happy because I liked sweets also, so I thought that's the best thing to give. And I was very small, and I came, my dear mother, here. It's just for you. And then I wanted to, and then I said, take it now, alone in peace, I will wait before the door, when you're finished, and maybe. So, my mother became very angry with me. He says, who sold you the sweets? Why do you spend your money with something useless like sweets. You need it to do something important with you, with the money in your life. And then I begin crying. And now you go back to whoever sold you the sweets and give him this piece of paper. My mother wrote very heavy. How can you give my beloved son, how can you take the money from him for something useless like sweets, which he wants to give to me. He loves me so much. He's such a good boy. And you take his money. This is criminal. If you don't give the money back, I'm going to teach you a lesson. Mother was very influential at that time in the town. And so I had to go back. Mother doesn't accept my gift, and I had to give it back. And they read the piece of paper. They all became white and said, "Here, take." And I was so frustrated. Then I came back to my mother, and my mother saw I was crying, and I was totally confused. And she said, "You can pick some flowers. I really like flowers. Without flowers, my day is useless." And then I brought a huge thing with flowers, like this much too much, you know, picked all the flowers in the park, brought it for the mother, and mother accepted, and my day was saved. So Krishna feels, in regards to his pure devotees, I want to give them something, but they don't ask for anything. They don't ask for they don't even ask for health. They don't ask for their own benefit. Like Prabhupada, you know, he served Krishna up to the time of his deathbed. He was translating the books even when he was dying. Krishna's just becoming so pleased by that amount of service. That so now comes the important point. But a devotee, someone who becomes a devotee of a devotee, he can do what Krishna cannot do. He can give something to the devotee, some service. The devotee will accept it because he considers this his service. And the Krishna is frustrated in giving something to his devotee, but the devotee, let us say, someone who becomes a servant and gives to the devotee, Krishna is just saying, "You do something which I can't do. Wonderful. Take some mercy." You know, this is the logic. Our Western unsurrendered mind cannot understand what goes on in the kingdom of love. We are strangers to this kingdom and therefore rebel against the concept of becoming a servant of the servant. I remember when I entered the temple and I saw the picture of the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, my first reaction was, "I'm never going to come back, because here they have a human being as an authority. I want God. I have enough of institutions," and so on and so forth. And later, I could understand this important point, which I have noted down. So you cannot ask Krishna directly for favor. First find a devotee to whom you can surrender, and who is a servant of, also a servant of his spiritual master, etc. This is, now another reason is, now this gets difficult, and I hope to be able to make it, understandable. See, we are discussing about getting mercy and giving mercy. Jiva Goswami makes an observation. He says, to really show compassion, you have to be able to feel the misery of someone else. Like, if you do not understand why someone is suffering, what is the point of his suffering? You may even laugh when he cries. Like, for instance, a child. Sometimes a child goes like, "Rabbit, rabbit!" Sometimes we as grown-up people think there is no reason to cry. He cries because, I don't know, whatever children can cry. I mean, about things which we consider insignificant, like he lost something. Thank you. He lost something which may not be very important even for us. The something. A stick, a small stick, you know. There are millions of sticks in the forest, but the child just... And we laugh because we... Why, you have another stick? No! I want this stick! And we become helpless because we can't understand what's going on. This sometimes also when Matajis come and they all of a sudden in the room, they go, boo-hoo! They cry and you just... Can I give you a handkerchief? That's or a bowl to put the water. There's really no reason to cry. And you know, we become just totally bewildered. What to do? There's no, yes, no, sorry, but I see no reason to cry. They say, oh yes, it will go. Just wait for a minute. So, my point here is to really show compassion, you need to understand the misery. And that's not, sometimes it's not easy if you just can't relate to this. It's sometimes not easy. So the Lord, this is the point of Jiva Goswami, is totally transcendental to the three modes of the material nature. He doesn't know any suffering. He just doesn't know the experience. He never suffers. Even when the whole world is destroyed, the Lord, he cannot identify with the suffering. For him there is no destruction. And he is a knowledge, he knows for the soul there is no destruction. So, therefore, he invests his mercy shakti with the devotee, because the devotee can understand why what is suffering. He knows. Devotee can feel sympathy for the conditioned souls. He is in this world. He's together with us here. He knows what the suffering of the body is. He knows what the suffering of the mind is. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays, I'm suffering endless miseries in this ocean of birth and death, and I'm bitten by the sharks of lust and greed and so on. They pray like this. They really know how we feel, who are we conditioned souls, who are swimming in that ocean, and boom, the shark of lust comes and takes one leg away from us. The devotee knows. And therefore he can feel real, the English word really is empathy. Empathy means a feeling, Nachdruck. It means a very deep feeling. Which someone has empathy. I don't really know how to say it in Deutsch. Empathy. Is our English teacher here? Debra, no? She went already. Empathy. Mitgefühl, ja. Mehr Mitgefühl. Mitgefühl, das ist das Deutsche. To feel with someone is the translation. The German word is Mitgefühl. The devotee can have Mitgefühl with us. The Lord is engaged in his transcendental pastimes, in his transcendental lilas, and he is very busy in stealing yogurt. Now, for those of us who are not yet so advanced, and this is maybe eight. I mean, I don't want to be blasphemous, but this question is also dealt with in another way by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who asked the question, "Doth the Lord hear my prayers? Or is it just that the super soul of the heart hears it, or the devotee hears it? Doth the Lord Krishna personally hear?" And he gives the answer, yes, he hears. So this is more, see, when Jiva Goswami makes this intellectual point that to feel mitgefühl or empathy, you have to understand the suffering of someone, he just wants to illustrate why it's so important to go to a devotee. But it's not that Krishna doesn't hear our prayers. Sometimes devotees ask this question, they are unsure if their prayers reach the Lord. Yesterday someone asked, how do I pray? I mean, can I do my own prayers also, or do I have to follow the pure prayers of the pure devotees, like Prahlad Maharaj, because my prayers are so impure, they just don't penetrate to the ears of the Lord. And the answer is given in the path of perfection, where Srila Prabhupada says that, yes, we should reveal our mind in confidence to the Lord. We can pray to the Lord. No problem. He will hear us. But this particular point of Jiva Goswami is just to make this point. And those who are a little fanfielig, a little sensitive to spiritual subjects, they will understand. Now I want to go on. I've made one other note. Yes. I want to read to you a very interesting passage from the Chaitanya Charitamrita on obtaining mercy. Athapite deva parambuja tvaya prasara leshanugrihita evahi janati tatvam bhagavan mahimno na chanya ekopi chiram vichinvam. My Lord, if one is favored by even a slight trace of the mercy of your lotus feet, he can understand the greatness of your personality. But those who speculate in order to understand the supreme personality of Godhead are unable to know you, even though they continue to study the Vedas for many, many years. To know Krishna, you have to get the mercy of Krishna. This point was raised by Gopinath Acharya to his relative Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya could not understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, and said to Gopinath, you worship Chaitanya, but okay, he's nice, but he's not God. And then he quoted scriptures where he said, the Lord is three yuga. He appears in three ages, but not in this fourth one, the Kali Yuga. This is how the Lord is the name of the Lord. Then Gopinath Acharya countered him and said, yes, but do you know the verse where the Lord is described as the Channa Avatar, the covered incarnation of Krishna, who plays the role of his devotee? And then he just quoted many, many verses about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu being an incarnation of Krishna. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya just felt uncomfortable. He didn't see the point, really. And then Gopinath said, you don't have the mercy. That's why you don't understand. Very simple point. And Prabhupada's quotes, Atasi Krishna Namadi, that the gross senses cannot understand the Lord. It is not possible. They have to be spiritualized, and that requires mercy. I think you know, to have fully spiritual mind and senses, that's not an easy demand. That's to be free of attachments, because your senses are purified from the covering influence of the three modes of material nature. And that happens by mercy, by milost. So then they discuss. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya just doesn't give in. He doesn't believe. I'm sorry, I don't believe it. Bas! He gets a little heavy. Now later, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu shows Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya his mercy. He just reveals his all-knowing potency by explaining to him the Satbhuj, a six-armed form, where Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya sees the arms of Ram, of Krishna, and of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he just falls, you know, he sees God. He just falls into the dust. And then later he even sees Radha and Krishna in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he is totally convinced and so on. But it happens by mercy. This is really my point. So if you want these high stages of Krishna consciousness, or at least of by high, if you want Krishna consciousness, remember these three points, why it's important to go to a devotee, why Krishna gives the mercy through a devotee. We also need lots and lots and lots of mercy. Otherwise, it's not these senses which we have and this mind which we have. It's just not the it's not possible to attain the Lord by this. This is a point which I wanted to raise at the end. If you want to read this verse and the whole discussion, I mean, it's like a storm. This discussion is going bang, 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 bang. And, you know, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was nicht in so ein Doofkopf. He was really intelligent. He had a photographic memory. He went to Mithila, listen to this, and Mithila did not want its knowledge to get out of the town. It had developed the most complex thinking structures in Nyaya, in logic. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya just read the books, remembered them, and left the books in Mithila. It was the police force was there. Control, you know, if anyone would take some books out of Mithila. And he just opened his own school. They became so angry, the scholars of Mithila, they hired murderers to kill him. Sure. Knowledge is more important than money. There are some people who know this. And just like that, they are materialistic knowledgers. You know. And they were prepared to kill him as if he had committed the theft of stealing jewels from the treasury of the town. But these pandits knew it was much more important than some foolish jewels. This was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He was the greatest intellectual rebel of his times. And he was, everyone knew he was just so brilliant. He eventually took shelter under Maharaj Prataparudra because his people were trying to kill him. He was so good, such a brilliant genius. And he was so strong. No one could defeat him. He made a lot of enemies because just what he said, no, there was a truth, you know, no argumentation any longer. He was too intelligent. He could say one point, and then he could take the opposite thing and defeat someone with the opposite point he made, he just played around with the intelligentsia of the time, just like playing ball. He was heavy. He needed an army to protect him because he was so much dreaded. You know, this storm, you can read how they discussed. Please read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 6. And the verse we have quoted is text 84. It's actually from Srimad Bhagavatam, but it is quoted by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Yeah, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for listening. Hope I was not too long, but some of you have to go. Now even the sun comes up. Some mercy finally in the weather department. So Krishna helps you to have a safe journey where you're not in the fog of Bavaria. So do you have any questions?
Confusing, me?
It's a very subtle point, Gadadhar. Krishna, the Lord, of course you cannot say there's anything he doesn't know or understand. He made us. He knows. He knows everything. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also says, the Lord is in his Leela, and there he forgets totally everything, just his Leela. But at the same time, he is all-knowing. It's not, he can combine these two opposites. Like the Lord goes like this when his mother wants to beat him. So, and he begins to cry tears, which wash the black mascara from his eyes. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, if the Lord just playing a role, you know, like a artist who puts some onion on the eyes before the crying scene comes, and then goes, and everyone thinks he cried, but it's just onion. Wangen wie eine Zwiebel, sagt man. Is he just playing this? Is he remembering now when Mother Yashoda comes with the stick that he's all powerful, he holds the universe, he can just go and his mother just vanishes in outer space? this is the question which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, and the answer is in the word Mukdasya. Mukdasya means he is allowing how his Leela Shakti covers him like a bee who is covered by the petals of the lotus. So the Lord allows it, and then he gets covered. He cries really. He really feels that mother is going to beat me. Oh, what did I do? Now she's beating me. And he's crying. And the mother is so angry with me. He's just breaking down, has a nervous breakdown. That's real. Here, Krishna allows himself. But at the same time, he never loses his Aishwarya. Aishwarya is his opulence as the all-knowing Lord and the powerful Lord. It's not that the whole universe just begins to shake because Krishna is standing like this before smother your shoulder. It's not like this that everything goes on. So, but you have said something very pertinent. Mahaprabhu is especially merciful. He's most merciful. most compassionate. Because Krishna demands surrender. And if there's no surrender, then, Krishna demands surrender. Sarvadama parichaja mangikam sharana. Is give up all dharmas and just surrender to me. This is Krishna's standard. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he does not consider qualifications or disqualifications. He just gives the mercy. Here, take. This is, therefore he is especially merciful for this reason. But he is also Krishna. See, these are subtleties which are science of Godhead. Krishna comes as the most merciful. That's described to be Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's the right door, Ganadha, where to bang. Bang, bang. Here comes your mercy beggar. I'm very ashamed to still didn't make so much advance. This is how we should come to Mayapur. I was very ashamed. We didn't make enough advancement. Ooh. Very shy. Please give me the mercy. Vraja Krishna. Sure. Nee. Ich weiß, wie du heißt. Wie sagen? Vedanta Krit Vedavit Eva Chaham. Yeah, and then such a nice question, Vedanta Kid. Your question is Buri Bhavana. It's the best because it's in the interest of the invasor, Lord Narayan, as Narayan, he is very pleased with the services of Srimati Lakshmi Devi. Now, this was a discussion by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Venkatavada, but Krishna is not so pleased with Lakshmi Devi as he is with the service of the gopis, because the gopis give up everything to attain Krishna's shelter. They lie for him. They give up their husbands and their society, their reputation in the society. That's we have no idea what this means. You know, here in our Western society, animal society, when it comes to any high standards, it's all right if a wife just, if a woman, the more the better. This is a sign of quality to be attractive to many people and husband and so on and so forth. Let's liberate ourselves from this concept of being the servant of one man only. We want to be the masters of everyone. Not in Krishna consciousness. But in the material world, this emancipation movement goes in that direction. So, in the Indians, or let us say in Vrindavan, if a woman just goes away from the husband, she is that's unthinkable. That's worse than death. Because here the standard is chastity. That's the highest standard. In the Western world, there are other standards. So the gopis do everything. Once Krishna had a headache, and he said, only the foot dust of my devotees can cure this. Very serious form of headache. And he sent Narada Muni to collect. The first Narada Muni went to the Pandits, who were glorifying the Lord with hymns, and they said, "We are not foolish. We don't give our we don't buy a ticket to hell. By giving the dust from the foot to the Lord, we will just suffer in hell." And he went to many devotees, and they're not prepared. Then Krishna said, "Go to the gopis." He went to the gopis. Now the Buddha said, "The Lord needs some foot dust." He was expecting to be given the same answer. The gopis just accumulated foot dust, a huge thing, and said, "Here." "This is very bewildering," said Narada Muni. "Why are you giving the dust of your foot? Don't you know you will go to hell? Imagine someone would touch the deity with a foot. I mean, we would simply bind him up and put him in the next train to nobody's land. This would be intolerable for us as devotees. It's such an offense. Is there anything more serious?" And gopis said, "We can go millions of times to hell. It doesn't matter. The main thing is the headache of Krishna should go. That is love." Very unusual form of, there's a highest form of love where the lover forgets himself and his interests. Cannot be found in the material world. It just cannot be found. The closest is the love of the mother, Prabhupada once said, to a child, where the child just screams, mother can't sleep in the night, the child needs three times food, and then passes on top of it on the just urine and stool on the fresh zari of the mother, and the mother just, she can't go like, "My name is Ari." If the husband would do it, you know, he would get the sauce. But the mother is just, "Yes, yes, yes." This continues with her services. The closest thing of selfless love in this world is that relation of the mother to the child, but it's not what the gopis feel for Krishna. So Lakshmi is not on that level. Lord, see, we speak now of prema bhakti, the highest stage of love, and on that level, the Lord loves the gopis and his and the servants of the servants of the servants. I mean, in relationship, the gopis have their servants, helpers, assistants, and so on. So the Lord, the main thing, I can't explain this, that is the area of the love, and Lakshmi is not on that platform, but he loves as Lord Narayan. He loves also you, Vedanta Krit, otherwise you would not be in Krishna consciousness. But you are not on the level of prema bhakti, not yet. Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu shows you his guidance. I mean, he does guide you, but he does a wonder in your heart. Then there, you will go there later in your life, or maybe. It's like this. We speak of different levels. Kingdom of love has many dimensions. Many rooms are in that house. Good. Ja, sofort. Ich habe dich gesehen, Maria. Und erst Maria Theresa. He wants your love. Manmana, he says, the process of Krishna consciousness, or think of me, worship me, become my devotee, offer your obeisances to me. These are activities of love. Directly to Krishna. See, here's another. Why not directly? Yes, but it's good if you do it over the servant. See, the spiritual master is not in between me and Krishna. Or the servant of the servant is not in between. If he is a real spiritual master, he's a transparent media. He is a glass which helps us to see better. Why has Enos put glasses on today? Because she sees better. Not because she sees versa. Isn't it? Yes. So, these glasses are not in between the blind, short-sighted or long-sighted person. Yes, but says the unsurrendered devotee. But I sometimes have the feeling my guru is so heavy and he just beats me on the head all the time. I have even a red spot on the head. See, look here. My eternal red spot. I'm suffering so much from this one person. I can't love him and I can't give him up. I'm just in between in the desert of misery. He's very much in between the Lord and myself. So the point is, if we are such unsurrendered rascals, we have to be purified. These should be seen as loving strokes. Like Vishnupada always tells his disciples about the club. Or he told in one lecture, I never forget it, how this word to master helps a disciple, and he gave the example of the dentist. When he comes close to the nerve, and he really played, it was in Heidelberg, you should have seen him, how he played it. No, don't come close to my nerve. I can sympathize with this example very, very much because I used to bite my dentist when he was this is what you get from me. This was my logic. I never did it with Srila Prabhupada, fortunately, but if I would have been closer, I might have done it all. Yes, the first time I met Prabhupada, I did it. I just challenged him. I very heavily challenged him. I wanted to show that he doesn't know. I know. I just bit. It was too much for me. But now I understand it was good that Prabhupada was always so heavy with me. Like one day, I remember, I just had the desire to be close. So what I did, Prabhupada was coming to Amsterdam, flying to Amsterdam, and I did not receive him where everyone else stood, but I went where his luggage came. And I don't know how, but I knew his luggage. Supersoul told me. I just took it from the belt, said, I am the luggage man. I'm going in the same car as Prabhupada to the temple, because I'm the luggage man. And it just got so young and not so strong, but I just carried all this heavy. Prabhupada had like the whole universe in his luggage. I do not know. There were maybe pots or cooking or his books and dictating machine. And I was already totally finished when I stood before the car. And I should have been intelligent and said, okay, Krishna wants, it's all right now. But I decided that so there were all these sannyasis and personal servants of Prabhupada. Just Shamasunda, Shruti Kirti, Pushta Krishna Maharaj, all these Maharajas were there. Brahmananda, who takes two seats, Swami. And, so, but I said, I'm sorry, I'm the luggage man, I have to go with this car. And no one, I was so convincing somehow that no one threw me out because I just had it like a German Zollbeamter, you know, like and I rode in the same car. So then I sat directly behind Prabhupada. It was a Volkswagen Bulli, what is it, VW van, and I looked all the time into the mirror to study Prabhupada's face. He was chanting, and see, he was before me, so I looked to the side mirror where Prabhupada's face was reflected. That was my plan. It took 1 week of intense planning. And I remember I sat there and I was just ooh and enjoying, and I'm so special. No one is as plan has such a good organizational brain as me. And then Prabhupada just he of course knew, and he just looked into the picture and in the mirror in a real heavy way. And then he went like, you know, I should not stare like this. And you know, my motive was all right. I wanted to have a personal relationship with Prabhupada. I just but he didn't appreciate it. It was too violent, maybe, or too aggressive, my plan, or whatever. And I was smashed. I was finished. 1 week of planning, all for nothing. So sometimes we have to, but I'm happy that Prabhupada dealt like in other occasions, but he also gave some mercy. I mean, it's not like that. Mercy in the form of acknowledgement and, you know, that human need which we all have. Yes, he gave that also. But he gave his mercy often in being stern with me, and I'm very, very thankful. Very thankful. Otherwise, I would just be too arrogant, or all my bad qualities. If he wouldn't have clubbed them, no one else would have done it. So, yes. So, this is a very... who asked the question? Yeah, but Krishna loves you, Marie Teresa. He gives you prasadam. He gave you the association of devotees. And you read his words. You are not far away from Krishna. You read the direct words of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. You do service to him. You cook and you offer. Yes, there is Prabhupada on the altar. And it goes through him. And so on. But think of the glasses. They help you to see. Dolores. You had to run away from the house to come here? No. Not so dramatic, yes. You want to love someone, not just being kind. Mm-hmm. The Lord says there's a difference between being just kind and loving someone. And according to psychology, 4 points must be there, and there are many, many people opinions. I found once a very nice definition on life to human beings, not God. That's a different thing. There should be, first of all, I should feel a desire to care for that person. Then, the next thing is, I should feel some responsibility. In other words, when the person suffers or something is wrong, if I love, I will feel it's not only this person's problem. It has become my problem. I have to take care of this. The next point is I must have a respect about this person. A respect, or Achtung is the German word. Respect. Respect is often used in a different way in the English language. Some appreciation or some bona fide feeling of oh yes, he is a person, he is his own man or his own person, and it's alright the way the person is, because that's, I have to respect the whole person, not just the part which suits me or which I want the person to become. And the next point in love is I have to have knowledge, because if I just love in ignorance, that's very painful and hurting. Ignorance is this sexual love or physical love, which is only based on this attraction, and so on. This is between this is the Western standard of love, usually where it's the main attraction, but there are also, in the West, of course, other forms. Love to neighbors, love to children, or charitable things and so on. So yes, you're right, just kindness is just a moral quality, but it has not yet much to do with love. As a devotee, if you want to feel some real satisfying relationship with devotees, you have to see these points. I've seen them in Krishna consciousness. I've recognized them. You give, for instance, the prasadam. That means you care. Here's someone who's hungry. Prabhupada, when he received his disciples, he first made sure that they had eaten enough. He stopped everything else. Have you eaten enough? Bring some prasadam. You must be hungry. You traveled so long, and so on. That's care. And then responsibility. If a devotee sees his god brother or his god, very god brother, just sees another devotee suffering, and he should move heaven and earth to help that person get out of this. It must be done. It's a must. And then, the next thing is, respect. Yes, we should not always, feel this very, very important in relationship amongst devotees. If I only accept a devotee if he is the highest standard, that's not good. Sometimes disciples come to me and tell me, I have learned from this. Since many years, my disciples have taught me this. I have to see them as persons and not just see them as the molten spiritual body, with full effulgence like molten gold. And if there's a little dirt on the spiritual body, be good. I don't care for you. This is cruel. This is inhuman. We have to learn this. In our society, we sometimes don't see this enough. Have you noticed sometimes, this is a very interesting point, Ravindra Swarup made it. Sometimes, when a person bloops, how we all of a sudden talk about him. He was very in good esteem, and all of a sudden we don't listen to his tapes any longer. He has become a person non grata. or we might have been friends before Krishna consciousness, we don't care for that person any longer. And the reason why Ravindra Swarup analyzes this like this, it's difficult to understand really why this is so. And he gives a very interesting analysis. He doesn't do like the many devotees say, this means the devotees have no heart. This is the analysis which I have often heard. But Ravindra Swarup thinks this is wrong, and I also think it's wrong. The devotees have a lot of heart. This is unfair to say like this. But what happens is, here goes like this. That devotees believe in a higher standard. Everyone. They want to attain it. Everyone. Also the one who ran away. In most cases, also wants to attain it. Now, everyone is, but no one is yet on that standard. And if someone falls away from the standard, it's like he has done the worst crime which you as a person can conceive of. He has done the same thing which you are in danger of doing. He has, in other words, you want to attain that higher standard, you are not yet successful, and therefore someone just falls away, this could happen to me at any moment. It's like moral, see, when you climb with a friend a mountain, and it's hard enough, and it's so hard, and the friend says, I'm sorry, not for me, and then goes down again and leaves you alone on this mountain. You think, oh, cruel. What will happen with me? I can't go down. But I don't have, he has done something which I sometimes feel like doing myself. That you could just... I don't know, can you understand, or is it too subtle? Maybe it's too subtle. I'm sorry. I can't explain it in another way. It gives perfect sense to me, but... can you... war das klar, das Avatar? Weil du bist sehr intelligent. Ja, wirklich? Okay, das aber kann ich understand. Gurgadada, you also went to the university. Was that clear? Ja? Good. Now, Tony. So, yes. Okay. See, we all want to attain the highest good. But some of us just go like, oh, it's too demanding. I just find a little country of mercy. Is another place to rest? Is it the only place to rest on the top? Is there a place in between, like a hula, maybe a cave, somewhere? And we should be able to say yes. Vanashram is acknowledging many devotees on different occupations with different standards. Our movement has to come to this realization. Otherwise, we will never become a movement where the whole world can take place. In mountain climbing, I don't need it. It makes noise. In mountain climbing, have you ever noticed there are only a few who just go brang and just never stop? You need some resting places in between. It doesn't mean to compromise with the principles. The principles you have promised at the initiation. Needs to sometimes find your place, your niche, where you can, even if you don't go for book distribution any longer full time, and so something else. Everyone looks at me and says, this is a revelation, but it seems to be a point important to discuss. Okay, That's my line of Dolores. I'm sorry, maybe I went away from your question. Would I do? Is it all right? Or I'm sorry, I spaced out. Anything else? Yeah, I think you don't love me. You sent me away. Yeah. You're speaking of preaching, a preaching situation, or you speak of your parents? No, because they are different. They are friends. Yeah. In preaching, you have to show the person that you care. Only if a person sees you care, then the person is interested to come back and hear from you. No. A preacher must be a carer, otherwise he can't preach. You have to sometimes spend time with the persons, sit in their apartments. They want to play you the hottest pop song ever produced in the universe. You can't say this is nonsense, sound vibration. And say, there's also music which is not having so much modes of nature. Oh, what's a mode of nature? Yeah, very interesting subject matter. Do you have 5 minutes time? I'm very interested. I have 10 minutes for the modes. Well, you know the modes. Really, I didn't know. Yeah, and then you explain. But if you, like I remember, I just went to a hard rocker, you know, Ozzy Osbourne, and this is an artist who eats live chickens on the stage when he gets into his mood. He actually got a blood infection because he had a chicken once which had some blood problem. This is how low you can go. So you could see he felt very uncomfortable with us. We were dressed in dhoti and we had a different effulgence than him and his friends, you know. And he was like, you could sit here if you want. And then I first had to take my hat and I could not start anything with him. He just felt so shy. And I looked at the posters, all Ozzy Osbourne posters. I never knew Ozzy Osbourne before. I recognized him because I had a picture in my karma slideshow for someone who has bad karma. And this was a picture of Ozzy Osbourne. I just took it because he looked just like a bad karma boy. Everyone can see it when he sees this. It was a good illustration, so I recognized, hey, here's my man. You know? And I said, well, I've never heard Ozzy Osbourne music, but it must be quite fascinating. All your balls are full with that guy. Can you just play me just something really heavy, but not soft? Really heavy, you know. And then, oh, yeah, really? And then he played and I said, louder! And then he went like real up, you know. Louder! You can't hear this music when it's so soft. But my neighbors, I don't care for the neighbors, you know, you're a hard rocker. And he just had so much shudder in me after this. Yeah. So, as a preacher, you have to take care. You may not... Yeah. Is it possible to offer as a devotee of Krishna a prayer to Lord Chaitanya just as an intermediary? See, Dolores, you make the classic Western mistake. That is, you dissect your subject matter. If a Westerner wants to understand a frog, he cuts the leg here, and the hand here, and the nose here, and then he has a feeling, I can study this. This is not the holistic approach in science. So, I'm sorry, don't get disturbed. I know you're not doing the same thing with Chaitanya, with this subject matter. I'm just saying, Lord Chaitanya, you cannot understand him separately from Krishna. He is Krishna in another form. But he is Krishna, full Krishna. Not less. See, it's just like when the best example I have heard came from Hridayananda Goswami. It's a modern example. He said, sometimes we say, I'm so angry, I could rip you into shreds. Yeah, we don't say as devotees, but before maybe. You follow? So, but this is not possible. But when the Lord feels like this, he takes the form of Nrisimhadev. He's really there and he's doing it. I mean, Hiranyakashipu, he even took his intestines and just made a garland of his intestines. He was so angry because Hiranyakashipu had wanted to kill his devotee. I mean, there was no limit to the anger of the Lord. No one could satisfy him. Not Brahma, not Lakshmi. They all couldn't come near to him because the Lord was just so angry. Unlimited anger. It's not like in this world where the anger can be, it's just temporary and then it gets into another phase and then it gets into frustration.